If you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. If you want to write these verses down, I just want to read a few to you from Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 34. We read these words, Leviticus 23, 34. God is speaking. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord." Let me pause there just a second because we're in that right now. In the calendar of the Bible, that's what we're in, and the full moon is the 15th of the month. The new moon is the first of the month. And so we just had the full moon, so we're in this seven-day period, the Feast of Tabernacles. And there are certain qualities and features about this particular Holy Week. So if you drop down to verse 40, we'll continue on. Leviticus 23, 40, and God says, "You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook." And here is the key. And he says, "And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." Rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. It was a characteristic time. It was basically like a Thanksgiving for a week. It was a Thanksgiving of remembering God's past blessings, his past protection and provision, because they were to think back of how God supernaturally guided them and provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness. But it was also a time to not only remember, but to thank God and participate for his present blessings, because the people brought the first fruit, just like people have gathered in vegetables and so forth from their garden. They would bring the first fruits of their harvest to the city of Jerusalem as an act of worship. Now, in the Bible, some numbers can have significance. The number 7 is often related to completeness. And so completeness, God says, for 7 days, I want you to rejoice before me. And when we give from our heart, that's the key. When we give, when we worship the Lord and give to him from our heart, it can give us complete or fullness of joy. That's how it relates to us today, because God is still faithful. And then this is one of the reasons why he says, "I want you to remember where I brought you from." He says this in verse 43. The King James and the New King James says, "that your generations may know." I'll read it to you from the New Living. He says it like this. "This will remind each new generation. This will remind each new generation of Israelites that I made their ancestors live in shelters, these little booths, when I rescued them from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So he links rejoicing to remembering. For those of you who are listening, I'm not outside. We have a cricket in here. He might be picking up on the mic. I think that's amen in cricket language. I don't know. I'll take it that way anyway. So to remember is linked to rejoicing. Rejoicing by remembering God's goodness. Remembering God's faithfulness. Rejoicing is linked to remembering God's forgiveness. Remembering God's protection. I can't prove this, but I really believe that the one Jesus said who came to steal, kill, and destroy, if he had free access to us, some of us might not be here this morning. So we thank God for his past and present faithfulness, his protection, even his provision. God has provided. Now, if you know the Lord, you know that we cannot have fullness of joy as followers of Jesus if we have something in our heart that we know is not right with God. So the three words I'd like to just center on. We want to go to the rejoicing. But if we want something more than just a little superficial, shallow, I feel okay rejoicing, if we want something deeper that comes from the Lord, the type that's rejoicing in the Lord, then we got to do it God's way. So here are the three words: remember, repent, and rejoice. Remember, repent, and rejoice. Would you say that with me? Remember, repent, and rejoice. And this is, we'll go into these three words for just a little bit here this morning, focusing on each one. Remember, repent, and rejoice. We'll look at that first one, remember. Remember. We have an amazing God-given capacity to recall past events to our mind, to recall past people. I can think of someone maybe I haven't seen in years. Maybe I saw him yesterday. We can recall past words, can't we? Can we be honest? Sometimes we have a tendency to remember what might be helpful to forget, and to forget what would be helpful to remember. So remember, let me join you in Deuteronomy chapter 8. So since we have that potential, God addresses it in verse 2. God says to the people, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years." This is, again, referring back to what they were to recall about the Feast of Tabernacles on this week. He led you all the way in these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you. Why? To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Someone wrote a chorus years ago and said, "Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed." I remember my mom actually singing years ago in a church service, "So remind me, dear Lord." I think that's how some of you are familiar with that little chorus. It says, "Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord." Remember. So the Lord says, "Okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you a holiday to help you remember." So he goes in verse 10, Deuteronomy 8:10. We got the choir chirping in here. I'm sorry, y'all. But you know what? Hold on a second. I just thought of something. They were supposed to actually dwell outside. This is a time where they would basically camp out. They would build these little huts and stay out all week long to remember how the Lord took care of them. So they're just they're adding to the environment here. We're outside, and we hear the crickets. Oh, my goodness. Verse 10 says, this is, I believe, something we really have to be aware of in our culture especially. "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." Verse 12, "lest when you have eaten and are full." Sometimes need-free can lead us to be prayer-free, which is not good. So need is okay if it draws us to the Lord. So he goes on in verse 12, and he says, "lest when you've eaten and are full, and you've built houses and dwell in them." Verse 13, "when your herds and your flocks multiply, silver and gold multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." We got to be careful that when we're blessed and when the bills are paid and we got money in the bank and we're full and things seem to be going our way, let's not take the blessing of God for granted, but let's always remember and to give him thanks Then he says in verses 17 and 18, just these last two verses, then you say in your heart, if you think this was all about you, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Let me pause there a second. Because that can be a human tendency. We say, wait a minute. I got this job. I worked for it. I made this money. I didn't need anything from God. He didn't help me. I don't recognize him. Oh, wait a minute. Who gave you the ability to do that work? Who gave you a mind to think? Who opened that door and blessed you with that job? Because some people get turned down for jobs more than once. And God says, I don't want you to think, I'm helping you here. I'm for you. I love you. I'll provide for you. But don't forget me when I bless you. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power or the ability to get wealth. So when we're blessed, let's at least say, thank you, Lord, to remember his blessings. Would you turn to Psalms 106, right around the middle of your Bible, to the book of Psalms, and I'll give you another scripture reference here in just a moment, but it's wise. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them it's wise to regularly pause and remember the Lord, to remember his blessings, to focus on him in a way that stirs us to be doers of his word. So we remember in order to do. Let me just give you this verse. I'll read it to you from the New Testament. If you want to write it down, then I'll join you in Psalms. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, Peter writes these words, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always, notice, remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. We don't always need some new revelation. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what we've already learned in the right way. So he says, you're already established in this truth. Verse 13, yes, I think it is right as long as I'm in this tent. What's he talking about when it's tent? Talking about his physical body, right? He says, as long as I'm with you, as long as I'm in this body, in this tent, I think it's right to stir you up. How? By reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. And then verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder. That's the second time, always, always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So he says, I want you to remember when we come together in worship every Sunday morning, it's an opportunity to remember the Lord. It's an opportunity to focus on his word, remember the word, to live it out, to stir us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. People talk about sometimes, I've heard them say, stirring up stuff in the church. This is what I want to stir up. Obedience to God's word. I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. What did Jesus tell us when we observe communion? He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do as often as you do it, what? In remembrance, in memory of me. Same thing with this cup. And the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We remember the Lord's goodness. We remember the price Jesus paid and the love that motivated him to suffer and die on the cross in judgment, bearing the wrath of God in our stead for our sins so that we don't have to. We can believe in Jesus from our heart, call on him as Lord and be forgiven and saved. He will dwell with us in life and we get to dwell with him in heaven forever. Remember, remember. Psalms 106, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? He is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then he says this. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies. Since they didn't remember, then what? But rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. The people rebelled against God when they did not thank him and they did not remember all of his past blessings. Then he goes on in verse 10, if you look at verse 10. He, God, saved them from the hand of him who hated him and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his word. They sang his praise, verse 13, but they soon forgot his works. How quickly we can forget the goodness and blessing of God. Let's read that again. They soon forgot his work. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They tested God in the desert. God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. We're talking about remember, repent, and rejoice. Even if we get what we think we want, if it brings leanness into our soul, it's going to be a joy stealer. We're not going to have fullness of joy, the kind that is in the Lord and the kind that he wants us to have, if we are just not thankful, we're rebelling against his word, and we're testing him. So do you see how important it is to remember and to thank God for his blessings, to thank him for his goodness, thank him for his forgiveness, thank him for his protection and provision, his faithfulness? I'm so glad I've come to appreciate God's faithfulness more and more, because I know if he's been faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful right now, and he's going to be faithful in the future. Thank God for his salvation. Remember. Then the second word, repent. Again, if you want to just write this reference down, it's found in the last book of the Bible. I'll read it to you from the words of Jesus himself, Revelation chapter 2, just two verses, verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 2, 4 and 5. Remember, repent, rejoice. Would you say that with me? Remember, repent, rejoice. And Jesus speaks to this church in verse 4. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So what's the solution? Verse 5, remember. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works. If we are not as close to God as we once were, or if we do not have the same heart and passion for God as we once did, we can come back. Thank God. I'm not saying I should have gotten away from the Lord, but when I did, he drew me back. Thankful that he welcomed me back. Some people might have the mentality that, well, I'm going to wait, do all I want, live how I want, and before I die, I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me and go to heaven. Even if you knew that appointment, which we don't, some people's deathbed is not a bed. I would just ask this. Why would you even waste one more day being out of fellowship with God and knowing him as your heavenly Father? Why would you, if you know the Lord and you're away, why would you even waste one more day being out of fellowship with the one who loved you and gave his life for you? Being out of fellowship with your brothers and sisters, why would you waste even one more day robbing ourselves of the fullness of God's grace, his peace, and his joy? We can be right with God right now. He's not just, thank God he saved me from hell, but he's more than a fire escape. He's my Father, and I need him in life right now. But if we get him now, we'll have him for eternity. Thank God. Remember. Let me give you just a quick definition, real simple definition of the word repent, because we can use it in church and may hear it and not 100% sure what it means. It has two meanings, really. One is to change one's mind. Repent, it can actually refer to any type of change, a change in mind, change of attitude, change of heart, direction. So that inner change, to change one's mind and to turn or return. Sometimes that change produces a turning. So to repent, then, is we change our mind about God. We change our mind about sin. It's not something that I need to just indulge in. We change our mind about others. We change our mind about ourselves. We turn from our way to God's way, Jesus. That's what it means to repent. So for someone who is not a Christian, They repent by changing their mind about God, themselves, sin, and they turn from unbelief to believe in Jesus as Lord. That's the first step. So remember, repent, and return. Repentance and faith are how we enter the family of God. But how many of you know that repentance and faith is for believers as well? Because repentance and faith are how we grow in Christ's likeness. We can have a heart for God, desire to please Him, but none of us have arrived. And if you're like me, I'm reminded of my humanity ever so often, more than I want to be. So the flesh is still weak, even though the spirit is willing. So when we sin, what should we do? We should quickly repent. And by faith, it's repentance and faith. We repent, change of mind, change of heart. No excuses. Lord, help me. I was wrong. I sinned. So we repent, and we, by faith, receive the forgiveness of God based on what Jesus did on the cross, because He paid for that sin, receive His forgiveness, and then thank Him and keep on walking with Him. That's how we stay in close fellowship with Him, and it's how we grow in Christ's likeness in the Lord. If you're right there in the book of Psalms, I want to ask you to turn back to where we've been for a few weeks in the book of Nehemiah. If you just hold your spot there in Nehemiah chapter 8, I want to give you just a couple more verses if you want to write them down. But Nehemiah chapter 8, I think I've learned this over the years. As we grow closer to the Lord, and I trust grow more like Him, I believe we can be more aware of our tendency to sin. Not in a condemning way. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates, but just in a way that something maybe that I could have done years ago and just blown it off, or maybe something I could have maybe been involved in, said a little something. I don't want to have a cold or hard heart. Maybe that'll convict me a little bit now. There's a little conviction there. There's some uneasiness about, I can't just let that go. And I believe maybe that's what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you want to write the reference down, I'll read it to you before I join you there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he knew where he came from. He tried to compel Christians to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here's what he didn't say, of whom I was chief. Although he could have said that in his own heart and mind because of what he just said, how he treated believers. He said, Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Maybe he even recognized his own struggle with the flesh as a godly man, an apostle whom God used greatly, because he was growing closer to the Lord and his heart was sensitive to what would offend a holy God. And so he says this in verse 16, however, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. He said, I remember and I'm thankful. And he says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who is alone wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. To God be all the glory. See, that's where God wants us to bring us. He wants us to remember if there was anything that comes to mind that we know is not right. He wants us to repent of it, but then he wants us to rejoice. Paul didn't think about this in a way that condemned him. He thought about it in a way that made him more grateful and thankful. And he just said, to you all the glory belongs, Lord. Remember, repent, and rejoice. And let me give you this last one, because that same man wrote these words in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It's 10 words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what? Rejoice. So Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Remember, repent, and then rejoice. See, rejoicing in the Lord is a result of being in close fellowship with God and His people. I can't be just say, well, I'm cool with God and not get along with anyone else and think I'm going to have fullness of joy. So it's being in right fellowship, close fellowship with the Lord and his people, and remembering his goodness, repenting of any sin, giving him thanks and praise. I want to come back to this, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, in just a moment, but let me close with Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. The people are there this time of year. Tabernacles, they brought out the scripture to read to them, and it says this in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. Nehemiah 8:8 says, "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." It's so important that we at least have a heart understanding. We don't know it all, but we have at least a measure of understanding of the truth of God's word in our heart in order for us to live it out. That's the key. It's not just that I learned something, but I live something. I live truth. Then he says in verse 9, "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." You see how tender their heart was? They hadn't heard the word in so long. They knew they had been away from God. But when they came back and they heard the word, it brought conviction. And so what did they do? They repented. They cried and they realized, "I'm wrong. I'm sorry over my sin." Lord, help us to grieve over sin again. Lord, help us not to be cold-hearted and hard-hearted, but to remember and to repent. And so then he says this, a very popular verse, but I want you to see the context of it. Verse 10, "Then he said to them, 'Now go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions, not just for yourself, share the blessing with others. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not sorrow, why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" See, the strength that we gain from being right with God, it does something. It strengthens us spiritually. That's what it means, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But do you see how important it is that we have a reason to rejoice? We have basis to rejoice. Again, not just some superficial, shallow kind of everything's going my way, but when it doesn't, I'm down. No, it's rejoicing in the Lord. And when we're right with God, we remember him, we remember his blessings, his goodness, and we give him thanks. We repent of any sin so we know there's nothing between our heart and God's. Then we can rejoice openly and freely, and there's something about that type of rejoicing that strengthens us. It comes right from the Lord himself. Thank God for his blessings. Thank God for his goodness. Let me read these last couple of verses, verse 11. "So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, 'Be still, for this day is holy, do not be grieved.' And so all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions." And notice what they did. "And rejoice how? They greatly rejoice because they understood the words that were declared to them." Do you see why we need at least some degree of understanding? See, rejoicing in the Lord is both an expression of our faith in God and an exercise of our faith in God. It strengthens us. There's something about praising God that magnifies him over the devil, over people, over our circumstances, and strengthens our faith. Abraham was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God. Do any of you have a past blessing you can look back on and say, "Thank you, Lord"? You remember God's goodness and faithfulness and his salvation, his love for you. And we can repent. And if there's nothing between our heart and God's, rejoice. He said, go ahead and rejoice. I want you to be a joyful people. I want you to 7 days rejoice. So this week, everybody, put your tent outside. Get your crickets. And go ahead and give God a praise. We have reason to rejoice, don't we? We rejoice in God's goodness. We rejoice in God's forgiveness, his faithfulness. We rejoice in God's power. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We rejoice in God's promises. He is faithful to his promises, and we can claim them as our own and live it out and trust him to work out the timing. So here's my challenge. I do have two for you, all right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, 10 words. Can we put that back on the screen, please? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I would like to ask you to read this verse out loud with me. Ready? Let's read it together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So this week, I want to ask you, will you at least once a day, will you confess that scripture? At least once a day, confess that scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say, now again, in the Lord, because there are going to be some days you might not have a circumstance to rejoice in. That's okay. You still got a God to rejoice in. And then I would like to ask you if you would do this at least one day this week, because it is a nice time of year. I want to ask you, would you step outside? I don't know when it might be into your schedule. Maybe for some of you in the morning. Maybe for some, it might be in the evening when the stars are out. But at least once this week, I want to ask you to step outside and just look at creation and focus on the Lord and realize that's your Heavenly Father, His artwork, His handiwork, and just magnify Him and just rejoice in Him. And if you've got a thanksgiving in your heart, why don't you give it to Him? How many of you would be willing to say, Brother Rock, I'm going to try every day, I'm going to confess Philippians 4:4, and I'm going to go outside at least for a few minutes, one time this week, by God's grace, and I'm going to focus on Him and remember and rejoice in Him. How many of you try to do that? Would you? Amen. Lord bless you. Let's stand together. Remember, repent, and rejoice. Lord, I thank You for Your great love for us. I'm thankful that You are faithful, and we can count on You. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, You know we go through our seasons of trial, of just temptation, testing, loss. But Lord, I'm thankful that You are greater. And even in those moments, we do have reason. You're our source of joy. So help us to remember when we fall short, as we do, help us to repent quickly. And then, Lord, help us to rejoice. I'm thankful I can look back on my life and see Your faithfulness. The evidence is all around. I'm thankful for Your goodness. Draw us to Yourself. That's all I really want. I know it's Your heart. Draw us to a closer walk. Give us a greater desire to know You and Your will, a greater desire for Your heart, that we could give You glory. Before we sing this, would you just take a moment right now, and if there's anything in your heart right now that's blocking your fellowship with your Heavenly Father, would you just lay it down? Bring it to the altar, so to speak, and just lay it down. Turn from it. Receive your Father's forgiveness because of Jesus, your Lord, and then rejoice in Him. Nothing between our heart and God's when we walk out of this place today. Would you take a moment and do that? And then will you thank Him? Just thank Him for His goodness, His mercy, and His blessing.